Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
It's a Tuesday edition here on Zero Blog 30, and today we are going to have five rounds in the magazine. Round number one, we're going to start out with 1,000 Marine Corps recruits at Paris Island, notably not San Diego, volunteered for coronavirus testing. The military gave it an acronym, and shockingly enough, the name, it's not a good one. It's called CHARM. It's coronavirus goofing with the acronym CHARM. What the fuck are we doing?
Not good luck. Not good luck.
Round number two, probably worse than that, definitely worse than that. A Marine veteran named Paul Whelan was convicted in Russia of spying. He got 16 years in hard labor in Russia.
Yikes.
Yeah, gotta assume the old juice wasn't worth the squeeze there.
Yes.
Round number three, Kate did an interview. We're going to do a little bit of pride goofing. I'm wearing my pride shirt today, little rainbow. Supreme Court announced today that nobody should be able to be discriminated against. And I think that if you're a military member, active duty veteran, or you just value the Constitution, that's good because we fight for the rights of all, and everybody should be happy about that. Round number four, we're going to take a little trip across the pond to a little Battle of France. Why? Because there's a corporal over there with the greatest name in the history of names, and that's no offense intended for my guy, longtime stoolie and big-time honey locust eater, John the Baptist. Mm. Round number five, it's going to be a good old-fashioned chap surprise, but we're starting off the news of the week that everybody's been talking about on social media. It was one of the highest trending topics. Kate has fixed her chair. What's going on with your chair, Kate?
Yeah, I know a lot of people have been reaching out to me, making sure I'm okay with all this. But as we talked about last week, I have a metal folding chair that I've been working on that has been making my ass crevices just absolutely drenched, pals. It is just a real mess down there. And unfortunately, I ordered a little cushion on Amazon.com. And I mean, this thing... grippy rubber bottom, foam seating. You can't see it because of my background, and you can't see it because you're listening to this. It's not a video show. Anyway.
And today's episode is going to be brought to you by our friends at Shady Rays. They're the best sunglasses in the world. They have high quality sunglasses, the less than expensive brands, the best warranty in the business. If you lose them, if you're goofing around and you're riding your bike all over Manhattan, you happen to drop your sunglasses down a grate where the mole people are, that's fine. They're going to give you a free pair right there because you can get two pairs for the low, low cost of $48 if you use the promo code ZBT50. That's 50% off two of the best shades. I saw cons out there on the golf course. Shady Ray ended up. He probably used the promo code ZBT as well, ZBT50 for 50% off. That's the way smart people did it. We know that he's smart because he went to West Point, lest we forget. That's the way it goes down. And Shady Rays is good people too. They donate 10 meals to fight hunger in America with every single order placed. Protect your eyes, feed somebody's belly, get Shady Rays at ShadyRays.com with ZBT50 as the promo code to get 50% off two or more pair. Let's start the show. But before that, Kate, anything else to add about your chair?
Yes, thank you.
You're muted. Why do you keep doing that? You keep doing it. Stop muting yourself, Kate.
The trains keep going by.
We can't hear the
trains. We don't care about the trains.
I've said it not only on this podcast, but every day that we do radio together. No one can hear the trains.
I got to hear it.
Stop muting your mic.
Got to hear it at least 20 more times before I finally listen. Anyways, I got a chair cushion now to put on top of it. I thought a cushion will create a layer between my ass and the hot metal. Okay, my hot ass and the hot metal seat. It is a hot ass indeed. This cushion has made it worse. Okay? Now... yeah,
that's not surprising.
It's like the heat from the chair has gone into this warm cloth.
Let's start the show.
Okay. I need 1,000 Marine recruits to test out this cushion. Let's see if I'm the only one.
We're back after a long weekend. It's been an eventful weekend. Cons is out there on the golf course loving it up. Cons, you had what many of the people in the biz and people were reaching out to me, what they call on Instagram stories, drunk guys on Saturday night. Care to explain?
Well, that could have been due to the fact that I had been sitting around the fire all day. And then
Smoke Eyes.
We purchased a karaoke microphone. So that's the talk of the summer down the shore. It's all we've been doing, and
people
it's
are going
all
bananas doing. About it. I was getting texts about it all weekend.
Really? Were you really?
Did you see Khan's karaoke mic?
Khan's got a karaoke mic. Shit's getting crazy down here. Come up. I'm like, I can't, dude. There's no flights.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was good. And then, yeah, you mentioned golf. Let me tell you, our guy over from the Foreplay podcast, Lurch, he is by far becoming my favorite person to play golf with. He's just always in a good mood. He's a great guy to have on your team because he's a pretty good golfer. But just overall, he just brings the mood up, and he's become my...
How are we doing on temper cons? Because I know you're a real competitive fella. Are you getting down on yourself whenever you have a bad shot?
Oh, no.
Are we working on that?
I got rid of that on the golf course a long time ago. There you go. You know, you finally come to the realization, like, oh, wait, this game is super, super hard no matter how long you play it, and it's hard even for the pros. So, you know, it's something that I've brought in check in
every now and
years.
Then Tiger Woods will go out there and hit it 70 yards into the opposite fairway. You just got to be like, yeah, shit happens.
Whatever.
Yeah. So I
made a golf decision this weekend because coronavirus, all the golf courses here in Texas were shut down for a while. You couldn't go out there. And I think my wife being cooped up with the kids, me going out playing golf for a few hours seems kind of like a selfish move, really, like to go out by myself. Mm-hmm. So I didn't get to use my membership like the last 6 months of the year. I still paid for it, like had to pay for it and did all that shit. They emailed me. They're like, hey chaps, your membership dues they're actually due now. I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah. Don't,
how dare you? Like, yeah. I paid you several grand and I didn't play once in the last 6 months. Extend it out a little bit, fellas. Have a little foresight there.
Yeah, really
golf courses
them?
Don't care.
No, I just said I'm not gonna renew.
Yeah. Oh, crisp mood.
I'll do woodwork and shit. If instead of going out there, that'll be my new one. And speaking of karaoke, Mike, I've been looking at this nice little speaker that has LED lights so I can shut my garage and be like,
that could be fun.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Anything else? What?
Me?
Yeah, anything else?
No.
No, nothing?
Nothing happened?
Nothing?
Okay, I guess I'll get into it a little bit. So this weekend on Twitter, I made kind of an announcement, not really an announcement, and said that I went to a neurology appointment a couple of weeks ago, about a week and a half ago, I guess now, and I had been dealing with some tremors in my hand, in my right hand, and it used to have been in my left hand. I used to have, but that was because of nerve damage from getting shot. But now, like, it's in my right hand, and whenever I'm doing tasks and I'm really trying to concentrate, or if I'm fatigued at all, my right hand shakes pretty bad, and I wanted to get that checked out because I was having some difficulties with memory and things like that. So I went to the neurologist and they said that they believe I have early onset Parkinson's. Now, Parkinson's is different than a lot of other illnesses that you can get where there's not like a blood test. Like if you have cancer, you go in and they draw blood and they can see it. Parkinson's is a diagnosis. And I've talked to luckily, because I have so many connections now due to this job and things like that, I got to talk to other experts in the field who said that it might not be that. Make sure I get a second opinion because some of the things that I'm complaining of don't fit in line with Parkinson's. Now, my diagnosis is going to be a little bit different because I have traumatic brain injury, PTSD, and things like that. So there is a lot of intertwined things that could be affecting it. I hope it's not Parkinson's, but if it is, I will go through it. The very cool thing about this job and being open about who I am as a person and what my values are is that so many people reached out, and it was absolutely overwhelming. Like it was the number one trending topic in the country on Twitter was chaps, and number three was Parkinson's. And I think that that is a testament to the fan base that we've built and how much people care about us. I think it's incredible. I wish that everybody who was dealing with a difficult circumstance had the same level of support that I do, because that kind of shit means a ton. When you're getting the amount of support where you have to turn your phone off because there's so many text messages come in, you realize how fortunate you are as a person, or at least I did. And it was very, very humbling to me. I talked to my boss, Erica, about it this weekend. I don't want to be like out there and talking about Parkinson's all the time because I feel like it's disingenuous. I told Kate on our radio show that I feel like For me, this is a day. Like, just because you have the doctor said something's wrong, shouldn't make you feel any different. I feel the exact same as I did a few days ago. There's just a diagnosis now. So I'm going to do things to make myself better long term. I'm going to start working out begrudgingly. I won't run. I promise
that.
I'm
not going to run. That was the big question on everyone's mind.
Yeah, I told the neurologist. She was like, you can pick up running. You can go do different things. And I said, well, I've made a promise to the listener. I won't back check on that. No matter how much my health is in danger, I won't do that to them because they would be very disappointed in me. So I'm going to do boxing, some rowing, some biking and things like that and get back in shape. And honestly, like I'm not at the point where I even need very specific Parkinson's related medication. Like they said that a lot of this stuff can be mitigated through supplement use and through getting a vitamins right and eating correctly and starting to work out and save the medicine for if I need it way later on down the road. So it's not, I'm not in a position where I'm sad sack Sally or anything like that. I'm ready to fucking move on and battle through and continue doing the goofing tour.
Yeah, I think a big question on everybody's mind is how is this going to affect your banana-induced pink eye?
You know, yeah, she said that.
Well, that exacerbate things.
She was like, well, potassium will help. And I was like, mm-mm. You watch your
Let me mouth. Tell you.
Yeah, no potassium.
Check the medical records, lady.
Yeah, yeah. But I send a good vibe
I'm in for a world of hurt.
In for a world of hurt. And we said, too, on the radio show, kind of repeating some stuff, but it is very much a hurry up and wait kind of thing. It's like you get this diagnosis, there's this big reaction, and then it's like, but you're right, it is just another day. Now you can put a name to it, but I know all that.
Hopefully this is my jarhead, like waiting to go into Iraq when I'm just sitting around Kuwait forever.
Never. Yeah. But so I think too, the support that you got is just a testament to who you are as a person and how many lives you've touched and how many people. So definitely everybody sending good vibes your way.
It sounds like, you know, from everything I've read now, I'm by no means, fully educated on this topic yet, but from everything I've read is obviously the earlier you diagnose it, the earlier you catch it and you can start to mitigate. And it sounds like you got a plan in place for that. So I think the fact that you're taking care of it, because I think so many people would just, especially at your age, would just say like, oh, that's probably nothing and ignore it. So the fact that you took the proper steps to figure out what it was that you're dealing with, I think will end up helping you in the long run. And who's to know what medicine is going to happen in the next, you know, 5, 10, 15 years. I think medicine changes rapidly and we're constantly getting better and finding cures for various ailments. So I think, you know, who knows? I think the best thing, though, is what you're doing, and that's maintaining a positive attitude.
Yeah, no doubt. And we're going to continue to do that. Just like the 1,000 Marines that volunteered for a little bit of coronavirus duty down at Paris Island. This story is one that really illustrates what life is like as a junior Marine to me. Yeah, it says that all throughout this story and article, it says that these guys and these ladies are volunteers. I don't buy it for half a second. Nope. So, Kate, walk us through. There's an article that came through on military.com. Walk us through what that says.
Indeed. The military has launched its second big study looking at how the coronavirus affects young people, this time at the Marine Corps Recruit Depot that saw an early COVID-19 outbreak.
I like the recruit depot just makes it like you can go pick some up with a military discount. Yeah,
just a little train rolls through if you have more than 1,000 people.
Throw them on an orange cart and get them going.
Oh, yeah. More than 1,000 people on Paris Island in South Carolina, recruits who don't pretty much have choice, have volunteered to participate in the Health Action Response for Marines, or CHARM study. First of all, the COVID Health Action Response for Marines, that's CHARM study. I love that they always put the sweetest little names on whatever
what
it is.
Stupid name that is. They had to come up with CHARM and figure out stuff to make it fit that. Like, there's no way that the initial thing that you want to call it is the COVID-19 Health Action Response for Marines. The fuck is that?
Hey, we're just doing a little CHARM goofing down here, down south. Just a little CHARM goofing. And also, for those who don't know, for our non-military members who listen, CHARMs are a candy you get in MREs that are considered extremely bad luck by Marines. Mm-hmm. So like if you're
I knew they were in MREs, but that you guys consider that bad luck if you get
it? You throw them. It's even in what's that fucking TV show where they're in Iraq, the fucking
Generation Kill.
They every time they get them, they throw them out of the Humvees while they're over. It's like bad
Kyle
luck.
Eats the green ones, from what I understand.
Wild move. That's the most unlucky thing you could do. But anyway, personnel from Maryland-based Naval Research Medical Center are leading the study, and it's going to last about 4 months long. They hope to learn more about the new virus and the pandemic that has infected nearly 8 million people so far and killed over 115,000 Americans.
Now, caveat from this story, 115,000 dead from coronavirus. Did you guys see that the kid who designed the website, the coronavirus 19 tracker, is a 17-year-old kid?
No, I did not see
that.
17-year-old, he did it as a hobby. MIT and a couple other major technology universities were like, we'll give you admittance and scholarship to come to our school. And he is like, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. He's like, I could go to college and learn things, or I could continue to do them like I'm doing them now and just learn them on my own and probably get a job doing that. Good on you, kid. You don't need that. Like, if you're like, I built the best tracker, I don't need to go learn databases, how to build trackers. I already fucking built the best one in the country and I'm 17. The kid looks like a nerd though. So really, I'm
nerd. Have fun with your mansion later in life, nerd. Have fun with your money.
Have fun being my boss, you idiot. Have fun looking like Jeff Bezos with $1 trillion crying emoji.
Have fun with your hot mistress, loser.
Or mister.
This is true. Also, I would like to say that this makes me feel dumb for how fancy I felt when I learned like one line of coding to make my MySpace look cooler back in the day.
Oh my God, you were absolutely right.
Oh yeah.
The first time that you do that, either it was MySpace, I think the first time I ever did it was on AIM, where you can have like a different layout. How much time would you spend looking for the perfect MySpace layout?
Oh man, so much. Absolutely. So I know how this kid feels pretty much. A COVID tracker is the same thing, creating a MySpace template, whatever.
I used to change the sounds on my computer. So like AIM, like when someone would come in the into the chat room or whatever, like a different sound would play. And when I figured that out, I felt like Mensa.
All right, now let's see. Because Cons is an AIM guy, I'm an AIM. What kind of podcast is Zero Block 30? Are you an AIM or AIM person, Kate?
Oh, AIM. Sorry.
Oh, we're an AIM podcast.
AIM podcast. Anyways, the objectives include understanding more about the new virus by identifying individuals who acquire COVID-19 with only mild or no symptoms, understanding the prevalence of the virus within the boot camp population, and addressing how the body responds to fight the virus. Now, does this mean they're about to give 1,000 recruits corona?
I hope so. This is how the people that didn't have any symptoms or no symptoms, this is what I was talking about when I was talking about Parkinson's. Like, you tell them that they had coronavirus and they're like, fuck. Then all of a sudden they feel really sick. That's not genuine. That shouldn't be how it's done. But this story goes on to say that the Navy Surgeon General, who's a rear admiral, which is how many stars? Kate?
A whole mess of them. A whole bushel of stars.
At most two. They're not specific. It could be either rear admiral upper half or rear admiral lower half.
I prefer one of the two.
So they said they will be tracked for several weeks, and the hope is that researchers will learn about the possibility of immunity. The data from the study on the Roosevelt was based at one point of time. Now, do you all what do you imagine, Kate? I have to ask you because you've actually been to boot camp. How do you think the drill instructors came out and phrased this?
Here's the sheet to sign up, motherfuckers. like that, maybe? Yeah,
everybody just like get online, pull out your little fucking ink stick. You're going to sign. You're going to be a goddamn volunteer. Do you understand that?
Be the one. Well, be the one who doesn't come over here to sign this thing. Be the one.
Yeah. Think about like one step before that. And all these scientists are sitting around. They're thinking like, where can we get a large population of young people
relatively healthy
that we can try this on, where all these volunteers exist, and they're like, "Oh, we'll just go down to Paris Island. The Marines will do anything you tell them to do."
It's a lung thing. So the one recruit who lied at MEPS and said that he didn't have asthma, so it could come in, really regret that decision.
Absolutely, it says
I have
here,
asthma. No, the fuck you don't. We already had the moment of truth, bitch.
You're fine. I broke my back, and my recruiter was like, "Nope, don't mention it. No big deal." Volunteers at Paris Island, they got to do nasal and saliva and blood samples 6 times over a 56-day period. So day 1, 7, 14, 28, 42, 56, those are the days in boot camp that they're going to have to get this stuff done. And they're saying that no, they were not pressured. The researchers asked recruits whether they'd be willing to volunteer for a little charm study, before they began their training to ensure no one feels compelled to participate.
See,
none of the recruits' chain of command was present when asked, but you know, you still feel that. You still feel like you don't want to be the one who does.
Yeah, because you know that you're going back. They're going to ask you who is in the study and who's not. They went a step further. I think they know. I mean, by now, the Marine Corps is very woke about what their reputation is. I mean, you could see that with the Confederacy being banned as well, mm-hmm. like the image. So they know what their image is. And they went a step further. This is the furthest step I've ever seen them take. All study personnel wear civilian attire throughout the recruitment and informed consent process, also to avoid the possibility of influencing participation. Imagine that at boot camp. Like, if you're mm-hmm. at boot camp and they're like, whenever you get there, they put all your clothes in this brown paper bag and then they put it up. Imagine them coming to you at boot camp and be like, put your civilian clothes back on. We want to ask you a couple questions.
I think this is before they take their clothes. They get there, they take them into a room.
Oh, this is in like the quarantine season?
This is before they even begin the training. Yeah, so they ask them before. But I do think I would definitely participate in it because that's 6 times you get away from your drill instructors.
Oh, yeah.
6 times you are just waiting in a line peacefully, quietly, nobody fucking bugging
you. Probably
you.
Get juice.
You give them blood. You probably do get juice. So
I get a donut, maybe?
Fuck me up,
yeah,
daddies.
We gave blood and they gave us a cookie and I was like, holy shit.
Yep. So you could inject LSD right into my... I was watching a thing about the Grateful Dead over the weekend, the whole mm-hmm. history of the Grateful Dead, and it started off with they discovered LSD because they watched videos where the military was giving it to the soldiers, testing it out. Mm-hmm. The military created that, pretty much. And there was this great video. They showed some of the videos that, like, Jerry Garcia had first watched and was like, oh, far out. Hell yeah, let's do it. And it was this 6 Army guys, like 6, like, Lance Corporals, given tabs of LSD.
No such thing in the Army, but...
Oh, whatever, you know.
We'll let that slide. Go ahead.
Stolen Valor, Katie, again. But they're in a line, and there's an officer, like a high-ranking officer, trying to tell them commands, and they're all just like... they're like, well, why don't you do it if you want us? And they're all cracking up. And just to see them not getting yelled at, but while, like, just totally tripping balls was such a delight.
So anyway, I want to see that video. Big time changes to boot camp and just allow one drug recruit where
for sure.
At the end of the stressful day, you just come in, be like, all right, this guy's going to do a little weed and he's just going to hang out. And you can just smoke him. You can do whatever you want to do. You can just hang out with the weed recruit.
I'm mad at it. But just a little drug test goofing. If you're going to do a little COVID testing, why don't we test
around,
out a couple other things?
While we're at it.
Indeed.
Yeah. But I want to give a shout out to military medicine because military medicine doesn't get the credit that it deserves. Military mm-hmm. inventors, period. Like people who are attached to that. And Bethesda, they believe that they are going to have the first real possible cure for coronavirus. And they are going to begin doing a human trial because it's really working on the different animals that they use. So shout out to those guys. I mean, imagine walking out at Bethesda in like the little lab where you get to fuck around with stuff and you have like your beakers and what have you. And then you are the one that figures it out. You'd be walking around like you were the woman who found the golden ticket at the peanut factory for Veruca mm-hmm. Salt's dad. She'd be like waving it around like, I've got it.
I got a golden ticket.
Now, one other thought here is recruits. They're coming in from all over the place and all sorts of goofy bodies and all sorts of whatever. I bet they're going to discover all sorts of new stuff in their blood. All this blood testing of these recruits. I bet they're going to find all sorts of neat things.
Like what?
Because most of the people there are weirdos. I mean,
I mean, I was for sure a weirdo.
Yeah, I mean, me too.
Absolutely.
I mean, think about it. On its face, a kid that had shitty tattoos before joining, bleach blonde tips, earring in his tongue, eyebrow, was a Christian virgin and decent athlete and needed to go figure out something before he was a preacher. That's a weird kid.
Oh,
objectively.
Yeah, objectively, I would have just made so much fun of you.
Banged half the rugby team, so I get it, pal. You and me.
Let's move on to round number 2.
That one made Kyle sit back in his seat there.
Round number 2 comes to us from the USA Today. This one, we are going to goof around about this story. It is serious. I mean, I do feel terrible for this fella, but we got to make fun of it because that's kind of what we do. Paul Weiland, he is all these articles say former Marine. He's a Marine. There's no such thing as a former Marine. He was convicted by Russia of spying and received a 16-year prison sentence in a maximum security prison colony. Now that colony word is terrifying.
Yeah, that scares me more than just being in prison. Like, what does it mean to be in a prison colony? I feels like it's a little more like no holds barred, like every man for himself, almost like a Lord of the Flies type situation.
And also, yep. He's 50 years old, so he'll be 66.
Yeah.
By the time
So he pleaded not guilty to the espionage charges and claims he was set up in a sting operation orchestrated by Russia's intelligence services. He was visiting Russia for a wedding of a friend when he was arrested in December 2018 after receiving a USB flash drive that allegedly contained classified Russian information. His trial began on March 23rd, but the proceedings have been closed to the public and many of the case's details have emerged through his lawyer, probably because they're saying that it's national defense related for Russia. So Waylon, like Kate was saying, is 50 years old. He was the director of a global security for a Michigan-based auto supplier. He was born in Canada to British parents and grew up in Ann Arbor, Michigan. He holds U.S., British, and Canadian and Irish passports. The U.S. ambassador in Moscow, Jim Sullivan, described the allegations against him as a mockery of justice. The CIA is involved and the American embassy is involved. He went on, even after he was convicted, he said, "This is slimy, grubby, greasy Russian politics, nothing more, nothing less." Imagine getting sentenced in Russia for 16 years and then still having the balls to say that. Fucking crazy. So I wanted to mention this because what would go through your mind if you're in Russia and they say 16 years of hard labor? What do you think the first things that would go through your mind would be?
I mean, before even getting to that, I feel like this is just Russia being a dickhead here. Got you, motherfucker. Like, just a shitty, awful thing. And I feel so, so, so horrible for this man.
Yeah, because it's using humans as pawns, essentially, in your stupid political games.
And who has a wedding in Russia right now? Come on, people.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Cons,
I love you, buddy, but if you're like, hey, decide to tie the knot, me and the old lady are going to go over to St. Petersburg, I'll be like, all right, I'll send you a fucking edible arrangement or something like that.
Just even now, knowing I have a military background, I feel like I just would not go there. That maybe that sounds dumb or whatever, but I feel like all they look at, they were in the military, we can frame them for something. I don't know. It's just this horrible feeling. I feel like that's fucking terrible.
Like, there's certain countries that you just don't fuck with and go to. Like, the guys that are...
Not that it's his fault, but
But you also, have a little self-awareness, friend. Like, if Donnie got... When Donnie went to Russia, or when he went to North Korea, you get hemmed up in North Korea because you snuck into North Korea under false pretenses. Do you get what you deserve? A little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not saying... Well, definitely not saying this guy deserved it in any way, though, for realsies, but
he deserved it, but you have to know that this is a possibility.
It's just a really scary thing, but yeah, it's like
what was his name? Future, when he went and his DJ Esco got caught up and had to stay 30 days or 40 nights in a prison in Saudi Arabia. Like, I'm not going to Saudi Arabia ever. I'm not going to the Czech Republic. I've seen Hostel too many times to go to Prague. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, no, I just,
my teeth.
This one line kind of stuck out for me, though, too. It said, former CIA agents have told USA Today that Waylon does not fit the profile of a covert U.S. intelligence operative. That sounds exactly like what someone would say about someone who is a covert U.S. Intelligence operative.
What are we trying to do to this fucking Marine, you guys?
Any control. No, we want to get him back, you got to be honest.
I'm saying is I think there's a lot more to this story that we are just not privy to. I think he was doing
Russian
some shady secret squirrel shit.
Like it says, in leverage with Trump for geopolitical chess. I think it's them fucking with us is what I think.
When Kate put this on the sheet as a topic. Yeah. I didn't think that there was anything funny.
I didn't put this on the sheet.
I'm just kidding. I did.
Oh, I was like, I don't think there's anything funny about this poor guy.
It is. Whoa. It's fucking scary, man. Like, I can't imagine being in the position of this guy and his family and what they have to do. You got to lean on them because the story isn't just unique. There's several Americans that are caught overseas and being involved in different prisons that would be scary. Iran, for example, being in prison there would be fucking terrifying. And we know that's happening too. Scary shit across the globe. Let's move into something a little bit brighter, Kate. I don't want to spend all day talking about fucking depressing shit.
Yeah, why'd you put this on the sheet? Seriously.
Sorry, guys. Kate. Pardon me. Yeah, hopefully there's some kind of, hopefully they could bust him out. I don't know.
Yeah, and when you get out of that, tough Russian prison camp, you want to wash your hair and body with something that smells great.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. Go on.
It smells great. It's personalized, premium ingredients. You know the deal. It's Hawthorne, folks. Hawthorne is great. I actually took a bath on Saturday morning with it. I love it. It's cedar. Anytime you think you could smell like cedar, you absolutely got to do it. Cedar is wonderful. Father's Day is coming up. If you want your dad to feel like a fancy boy, get him this stuff. It comes in a luxurious looking case. Every single item is wrapped individually. So whenever you're unwrapping one gift, it feels like 50. Make sure that you're doing it. It's a 2-minute quiz. You're going to feel fancy. It's going to ask you what you like doing on the weekends. They're going to give you work versus play, different types of cologne. I always goof with my wife about that whenever I'm getting ready for a little action. I'll be like, it's time to play. I'm going to put in that work, though.
I spray their cologne on me sometimes. I have a bottle of their cologne that I keep here. And every now and then, I think it's kind of sassy when a lady wears a little like dab of it from time to time.
I agree.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like, oh, I'm not alone. Somebody's definitely here.
Well,
he goes to a different school.
But I legit really like it, though.
You just don't know him. He doesn't go to our school.
George Glass? You just haven't met him yet, but it smells so good. I legit, sometimes I'll spray my perfume, and then I'll spray that on top of it. It makes like a really unique kind of fun smell, like a sassy smell.
If you're a single lady and want to smell like a man, go to Hawthorne.co. That's Hawthorne with an E.co. Use our promo code zero. You're going to get 10% off your first purchase. That's, here we go. Hotel Alpha Whiskey Tango Hot Hotel Oscar Romeo November Echo Delta Oscar Tango. I'm not even enjoying this anymore. Oscar, and use the promo code zero to get 10% off. It's great. I was talking to an insurance person the other day, and you have to give out your VIN number. You know, like I was adding my daughter's car to our insurance. And whenever you're doing that, you're going through all the different numbers, and the VIN number is like 15, 20 digits.
Yeah, it's not short.
No, and doing it over the phone is a pain in the ass because people don't enunciate or you don't talk to that person all the time, so you don't understand how they speak. So I asked the dude, I was like, are you familiar with phonetic alphabet? And he was like, yes. I was like, okay, cool. So we can rifle through these. So I went through the phonetic alphabet and the VIN number, and then he was like, oh, that's not showing up. I was like, well, read back to me what you have. And then I did the perfect like military one back, and he goes, M as in Mikey, R as in Rose. And I was just like, you son of a bitch, give it back to me, you nasty fucking worm, you dirty little dog.
You should hear mine.
What's yours?
Well, Katie Stolen Valor doesn't use the real military ones.
Do you think you could do it?
Alpha? You know what? No. Yeah, just do it in whatever way you want to do it.
See if you can do it first. See if you can do the real way first.
The real one. Go.
Alpha, Bravo.
You can't even get to see.
What?
Alpha, Bravo, call sign. Alpha, Bravo, cat. Alpha, Bravo, cha. Alpha,
it's a Bravo. Uniform, Kate. Charlie. Uniform.
Charlie. Oh, my God. Alpha, you know Charlie. What? Oh, Charlie's such an easy one. Delta, Fandango.
Nope. Grab your sergeant and come to my office at 06:30 tomorrow.
What's we'll F?
Foxtrot. Who is your sergeant? I think that'd be me.
Foxtrot. Oh, my God. Echo. Grammy. Golf.
All right, let's not continue to do that. Kate had a lovely interview. Want to tell us about it, Kate?
I certainly do. Doing a little pride goofing, might do a few more. Again, hit us up in the DMs if you have a story to tell or you just want to talk about your experience, LGBTQ, whatever color of the rainbow. Come and hit us up. We want to hear your story. We want to share your story. And I think this one with Sergeant Bailey Bertolani was a particularly great one. And he had a lot of good advice to share. He tells his story about he was in since 2013. He didn't come out until last year, but that is a process. Everybody does it in their own time. But that the greatest thing to hear was that he's never been happier in his life than he is now after coming out and being himself, especially as an active duty Marine in the military. So here's his story.
All right, I am now joined by Sergeant Bailey Bertolani. I got it right, this Bertolani.
Yes, you did.
Motor T combat instructor. He's been in since 2013. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and you had reached out before when Chaps was doing his career day stuff to talk about the Motor T and combat instructor, but we had recently put out a call. It is Pride Month, and we are reaching out to, because I think still, you know, Don't Ask, Don't Tell has been over for a while now, but I think it's still really difficult for a lot of people to be open and to be themselves in the military when there are, I know when I was in, so many LGBTQ people in the military, so many. And you reached out and said, hey, there's still some things going on in the military with that. And I'd like to speak on it a little bit. But before we get to that, can we just get in the, your background a little bit? Like, where are you from? Favorite color, credit card number, social security? No, but if you could just tell us, if you could just tell us a little bit about your background.
So I enlisted in 2013, Motor T, and I mean, that's kind of a fun job.
Fort Leonard Wood. I know that life. Oh, yeah. Specker area.
Went in December through January, so it was cold.
Oh, God.
Stationed in Cali over in Del Mar area in Pendleton. Super nice.
Same and here. Yeah.
About 3 years ago, went to Camp Lejeune. And then I was stationed over there with 8th Comm. And then now got orders to Combat Instructor School in January this year.
Oh, shoot. So you've been.
Yeah, I just graduated my second class of MCT.
How's that going so far?
Oh, it is insanely interesting.
With social distancing, too, is that like a thing? Or it's like, eh, what are you doing?
Having about 300 privates, but they all have to be 6 feet apart and they all have to have masks on. Oh, it gets interesting. I cannot even
imagine, especially the people with the big birth control glasses and the fog and all that stuff.
They have like, when there was one girl trying to go in the PX and she had just gotten a fade for some reason. She had a mask on, cover on, and you're like, you can't even tell who they are. You're just like,
right. totally anonymous running around out there. Yeah. And we have similar path too. So Fort Leonard Wood, Camp Pendleton, Del Mar, all that good stuff. I think you got there right as I was leaving pretty much. So we must've just crossed paths there. But so I was reading on one of your Instagram posts that you have. And by the way, you're way more in shape than I am. I got nothing but bingo wings now.
Let me try a little bit.
When I was in, I swear I had some kind of muscle tone in my body. But I was reading one of your more recent posts. As you talk about, you know, I've been in since 2013, but last year was the first year that I openly came out in the military and let everybody know the real me and who I am. And I was wondering if you could walk us through that, because I think in the civilian world, it's still difficult in a lot of places, but I think it's more of a, okay, cool. And I don't think people realize it still is very different in the military.
It's, it was a very hard decision for me.
Mm-hmm.
So especially my personal background. So I married my high school sweetheart out of boot camp.
Mm-hmm. Who was real original Marine.
Oh yeah. Did the whole like boot leave, propose, schoolhouse, get married.
Yep.
Surprisingly, divorce did not come from the whole gay thing.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of had the time to find myself after I left Camp Pendleton and kind of realized that all the feelings that I've had kind of really are who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And then went to explore that a little bit and kind of just realized who I was. And then at that point, I also kind of realized where I don't know how to come out as like, I don't know how to be an openly gay Marine.
Mm-hmm.
In even it's okay to be gay in the Marine Corps now, but it's still like everybody makes the gay jokes and everybody makes like just throw it here or there, like, oh, this hike is gay or like,
mm-hmm.
So like, it's kind of a weird where are they okay with it or I'm not okay with it. And I ended up actually meeting my now husband and I kind of was like, I can't hide this. Like I definitely want to let everybody know who this is. And I was tired of lying to friends, family, everything else. And with me, I just kind of said, screw it, let's go.
Yeah. And how did that go? Like, who did you tell first? Like, who did you start reaching out to? How did that go?
So my best friend he was my best friend in Camp Pendleton. He's now a staff sergeant who's actually an instructor in Fort Leonard Wood.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first person I told. And I kind of just drank a couple beers and texted him. I was like, hey, man, I got something to tell you. He's like, what's up? I'm like, I don't know how to do this, but I'm gay. And he's like, what? And he calls me. But after that was kind of the only like reservation I had. And then I just kind of told everybody. I actually made a TikTok video about it.
Really? We'll have to put it on our social. Yeah.
Hey, I'm gay. And like, everybody's like, what?
Yeah.
And then, but the overall receival from all my Marines and everything. So I had like a 120 person platoon
mm-hmm.
and everything was overwhelmingly great. it was surprisingly great, where there were definitely people who had a problem with it.
Yeah.
But for the most part, everybody was like, that's awesome. A whole bunch of like a whole bunch of Marines were like, we had no idea.
Yeah.
We thought you were like getting all the girls from Driftwood all the time. I'm like, no.
Well, thank God. I mean, I feel like you would be. So you're helping them out by not with the, oh, yeah. The Instagram pictures I'm looking at. Be real in a minute. But I think that's so awesome to hear. And I have to tell you, like, you know, I think following you on Instagram now, and I think from the time when I was in, from 2008 to 2013, and even at Fordham, where I went on my GI Bill afterwards, I had veterans in my class who were kicked out under Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yes.
One of my good buddies there, he was in the Navy, and he got outed on his ship, and he got kicked out of the military. And it's like, to me, it's such a betrayal of our military members. Like, it's just such a horrible thing to think about. And it was so, I hope this doesn't come out wrong, but like seeing you be so open and taking pictures with your husband, just like anybody else does, and being, I'm a Marine and this is me. To me, I feel like it's just such a powerful, important thing, because we get DMs, and this guy, Pat, that we work with gets DMs from people in the military who are still afraid to just be themselves and be out in the open like that. And it's so good to hear you say that for the most part, your command was super supportive, that for the most part, people are really cool. And you're right, there's still the old, just the terminology that's still dying hard, like people dropping the R word for stuff and people dropping like other stuff like that. But to hear that it's so whatever. And do you ever get people reaching out to you?
Actually all the time. So yeah. Right after I came out, that's when I made my Instagram public. And
yeah.
My whole goal was to like track like workout and progress.
Yeah.
But it turned into a whole bunch of people started to reach out and be like, hey, how did you come out? And like, what's your experience with it? And I hate hearing people say like, I'm so scared to tell anybody, or I'm so scared of what my command's going to think. And it's also a challenge to try to convince somebody that, hey, you need to be you, because
yeah.
I don't know them. I don't know their command or their family. And it's just like, you're going to pain yourself more by staying in the closet and like lying about who you are. Because I remember there was one guy I dated out here when I first moved out here, and he was not out. Neither was I. And I want to talk about him so much that I tell everybody, be like, hey, this girl that I met. So like, I just changed the him to the her, mm-hmm. or the guy to the girl. So, but like, once people started to be like, oh, can we see pictures? I'm like, oh no, I don't have any.
Yeah.
And it's just, it was so much more effort to try to hide it. And you feel so much better after, and you can actually be yourself. Like I have not been this happy in, I'd say ever, because, and then especially I get a lot of people who reach out because my husband and I are dual military.
Yeah.
So
what's he also Marine?
Army, actually.
Oh shoot.
So he's a special operations combat medic over in Fort Bragg.
Still?
So yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're both active. We actually live halfway between Bragg and Lejeune. So I live about an hour and a half away from my house.
Oh shoot. Okay.
So from work.
How did you guys meet?
Tinder.
Yeah. I was gonna say, yeah. All no, right. Going to the Army no. side. We'll allow it. Yeah. Does he ever ramble yeah. on about Army football?
Not about Army football.
So he's cool. All right, good.
Yeah.
He's not like our guy cons here.
No, not at all. No, he's just like me. We argue about sports. We argue about like, oh, hey, I'm a Marine and I'm way better than you. I like to tell him that, and I'm like, hey, you're out there doing the combat stuff. I'm teaching the combat stuff.
Yeah, I know exactly. What, yeah, I can. If you need some pointers, come to me. But that's awesome though. You know, I think too, you're saying everybody has to come out in their own time, and I know you can encourage people too. And, but I think people like you who are here, I am, and look how happy I am. Like, look how happy I am now that I can be myself. And I got all that extra stress off my back of hiding who I am. I think the more people do that, the more people see, oh, it can be okay. So I think it's really like, you would probably maybe cringe or roll your eyes at this, but like, I think it is, maybe brave's not the word, but it's so important. Like, I think it's so important that people are able to just put it out there for others to see that you can have this really wonderful life and be in the military and do this stuff.
Oh yeah.
Do you have any other advice for people who are maybe feeling stuck and like they can't?
I mean, I would definitely just tell somebody that if they're scared about it and they do it and somebody gives them backlash, just like either just take it or like take it and then spit it back at them. Because yeah. I definitely had submarines. I had a couple peers of mine who, and actually a whole command team that were like, hey, you're not allowed to do this because you're gay.
Can you talk a little bit more on that?
So just because it's still an ongoing investigation.
Okay.
But not as much, but it was a really big time for me because it was right after I came out, and then it was actually a fight for another Marine who she was trying to come out, and a couple sergeants were like, hey, we don't like this. And that's just what you see where there's like the staff NCOs and the officers who have been in since prior to Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And right. Since prior to the repeal, that they're just stuck in that mindset. And a lot of times if you just talk to them and they see like, hey, you're a hard worker, like you're a good Marine. And that's pretty much it. Like, in my opinion, what I do on my off time, like I know I'm a good Marine. I do my job and I can perform just as anybody else can. It shouldn't matter.
Right. Exactly. That's times are changing, old timers. Like, get over it, move on. But also too, like speaking on that, do you have any advice for commands who, I don't know, like you said, like what is the best way do you think to be supportive of people in your unit who are coming out and are saying like, you know, I don't know, is there anything that helps, that any peers of yours that like really helped with that?
I would say, and it sounds a little weird, but everybody trying to make it normal or making it weirder.
Right.
Because it's like, you go out of your way to like purposely be like, hey, don't say that because he's gay. It's like, right. No, actually say that because it's like, hey, if I have a problem, and on this one I speak not for the whole gay community because
right.
Everybody has their own, but like, and I just inform people, hey, just because it doesn't offend me, it doesn't mean it won't offend anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But try to act as normal as possible. Like don't go out of your way to be like, hey, we're not going to do certain things because we want him to feel comfortable. Because 90% of us will tell you, be like, hey, offline, I don't think that was cool. Can you not do it again?
Right. It's a great learning kind of thing for a lot of people.
And everybody is super scared to like cross the EO line.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, hey, like just act normal. We're still Marines. We still do the same dumb stuff. We still go out and hike the 15Ks every month. We're like,
yeah. Understandable. So, hey, don't be weird. That's
yeah, just don't be weird about
just
it.
Don't be weird. Also too, just military in general, do you have any favorite, just going back to your motor T and combat instructor and all that stuff, do you have any favorite, like what has been the highlight of your career so far?
Highlight of my career? I'd say being a combat instructor is really great.
Did you get tapped for that or did you ask to go do it?
I asked for orders. And yeah. It's not that often that they pull from the motor T community for combat instructors. And mm-hmm. It just so happened to line up. They're like, hey, we have one seat. You want to go? I'm like, cool. When? And they're like, next week. I'm like, oh, okay. Oh, cool.
All right. Yeah.
Pack up. I was already out here, but I'd say definitely being a combat instructor is up there,
yeah.
But overall, just like, seeing Marines that I have had and then being in so long, it's like, hey, I'm like watching them grow. And then it's also a really weird feeling once your Marines start getting out,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, oh, this is weird. I'm still here. They're not.
Yeah.
But like seeing just like how much of an impact you actually make.
Oh yeah. I think some of my friends who are still in, who I was their corporal when they were like PFCs and Lances, and mm-hmm. seeing them now as like a staff sergeant and what, I'm like, oh my God, I'm super old as shit now. I guess that's what that means. And two, look at them go. It's like, so it is really cool to see. And then as a combat instructor, I'm just thinking back to my days when I was in, do you have like a funniest story so far? Like a weirdest like student story or anything fun like that, that you could tell?
So keep in mind, I've only done two cycles.
Yeah.
But My first cycle, got straight introduced to a Marine who is still in, so shall remain nameless.
Mm-hmm.
But he was quickly dubbed the Potty Popper. And middle of the night, one night, apparently decides to beat the shit out of a kid on the toilet.
Why?
I don't know why. Just full on. And we were like, dude, what? Why the fuck would you just hit him? Like, taking a shit.
Toilet.
Punch in the face. We were like, okay, that's insane. Ended up moving him to a different company. He ended up graduating. But,
watch it. That's like my worst nightmare here in New York City is to be, I'll say it, is to be taking a dump when like somebody busts in. I'm like, hold on. Give me 1 second.
We're like, that's just not right, dude. Like,
that's
like,
an ambush, my friend.
Like, you're just sitting there and you just hit him. But I think the funniest part about being a comment is like just the stuff that they say. Like,
yes.
Like your guys' private voice that you guys do all the time.
This recruit.
It's exactly that. It is like, it's like, hey, why did you do this? Sir, I don't know. I'm like, okay. I was a master guns, a first sergeant, a gunny, a lance corporal,
mm-hmm.
all in like the same sentence. And like, they have no idea what to say. They freak out because they're still in like that drill instructor mode.
Mm-hmm.
And we're over here like, why? Like, that doesn't make sense. Why did you do that? Aye, sir.
It's like, panic, just absolute panic. Like, calm down. It's okay. We're not
straight panic. You ask them any question. It's like, why are your boots on? Like why are your boots unbloused? Aye, sir.
Yeah. Aye, sir. This recruit.
Yeah,
that makes no sense at all.
That's awesome. I'm excited. Like, we would want to start like an anonymous for drill instructors and combat instructors for just the wackiest. Like, I see people even once I was in the fleet. Jamming the magazines in backwards and trying to fire and like just all sorts of stuff.
Oh, I've had a student load 240 backwards.
Oh God.
I also had the same student handed me a hot barrel and I wasn't paying attention because I was watching another shooter and she's like, Sergeant. And like, I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, grabbed it. Just burnt the hell out of my hand. I'm like, what? Why would you just hand that to me?
Oh my God.
Hi, Sergeant.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh God, I bet the stories. By the time you're done, hit us up again. By the time you're done, keep note of your best stories, and we'll have you for a special stories edition. But also, too, are you doing anything for Pride? Like, well, I guess it sucks here in New York City. Like, it's one of my favorite months here. There's just endless awesome parties. The streets are closed off. Everything's like, there's just so many fun parades, so much stuff. I guess it's kind of. Everything's kind of canceled for now.
Yeah, everything over here is still closed. We're all just patiently waiting for the gyms to reopen because right now I have an hour and a half to go to the gym.
Oh God, to get to
because only base is open. So we're just waiting for gyms to open, and then we don't have anything planned for this month.
Yeah, there's really nothing that you
between
can do.
Work and COVID and quarantined
and all that jazz. Good times. But I. Loved your stories of being a combat instructor. And I'm glad a fellow Specker area person has been on the show now. Who knows that glory, the bowling alley.
I know the pain.
Getting drunk at the bowling alley. It was a real hoot back in Fort Leonard Wood. That was like the only thing you could do. And that and all the religious billboards that are like, if you don't breastfeed your kid, you're going to hell.
I'm going out. I have my boot scar on my back that I got at.
Oh no.
Where did I go? I don't remember the name of the tattoo place, but it was right there in St. Robert. And
What is it?
It is.
Yes. It's okay. I have a tramp stamp if it makes you feel any better.
The state of Nevada with the UGA in it.
Oh, God. I'm applauding you.
Oh, yeah. It was bad. And I remember sitting on the phone with my mom and I'm like, no, mom, I love Nevada and I love the Marine Corps. I have to get it tattooed on me.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like, why did I do that to myself?
You know, coming out wasn't so bad, but showing people the tattoo on my back.
That's the hard part.
That's the worst part of all. That's the thing. But I cannot thank you enough. Sergeant Bertolani.
Yep.
And I don't know why I act like that's a Bertolani. Sergeant Bertolani, I cannot thank you enough for coming on the show, for sharing your story with us. And where can people follow you?
Instagram, Big Bert Energy.
Big Bert Energy.
Big period Bert period energy.
All right.
That's the only social media I have.
Okay. Instagram, follow him up on there. Fellow Marines, you will see the mirror selfies. They're in there. He's crushing it.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. But cannot thank you enough for coming on the show. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Love it. Love those kind of stories. And you walked away from that interview beaming, like super happy about it and how just he was.
He was just a delight. And classic Marine, too. Like, I ripped on him for it in a few times in the thing, but, like, the mirror selfies on his Instagram. And his his hair was perfect. He just, like, yeah, he was totally Marine's Marine, hands down. And I also, the one other thing I really loved about that was he said, every now and then, somebody will say something in front of him if he's in a group, and one of his other friends will be like, yo, man, don't say that. Like, he's gay. Don't say anything. And he's like, actually, no, I'd rather hear people say it so then we can just have a quick conversation about it. Don't be weird. His thing about don't be so weird about it. Let's just be open about it and talk about it so we can all learn. I just think that he was just, I don't know, really loved him. Thought he was fantastic. So thank him for coming on the show. Big thanks to him. So
that is awesome. Let's move on to round number five. Surprise pop-up round for me, which I'm always excited to do. Let's cue. Oh, we got to do round four. Wait, that was round four, right?
That was round number three.
That was round number
three. Fuck, is round four.
Nothing. Here's all it says. Nothing gets my warrior blood flowing like a little bit of bagpipes in the morning.
I get that. I get that.
Oh, yeah. Now I remember. Here we go. So round number four, came across this story this weekend. This is the badass name alert. Badass name alert. Nothing gets my blood flowing like a little bagpipes in the music. I got it. Kyle, play what they put on the British Army's Twitter account. If you don't like bagpipes, I don't like you. Here it is. So the Army's doing this. They had a big ceremony because they're celebrating the 80th year since the Battle of France took place. And now I know a lot of our listeners, obviously, Kate is super schooled in history and loves stuff like that. But some of you might not. They actually just made a movie about it about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, called Dunkirk. Here's a little bit about what happened. 90 seconds, quick history lesson about what happened in Dunkirk for the Battle of France, which happened 80 years ago this week.
During the Second World War, in their erratic endeavor to take over the world, the Nazis launched an attack against France in May 1940. British forces immediately came to France's rescue. While the German Army Group B, having invaded Netherlands, advanced to the east of France through Belgium, the Panzer Corps of the German Army Group A got into France, braving the deadly impenetrable Ardennes Forest. They proceeded west, eventually turning north and heading for the English Channel. The French Prime Minister didn't expect the German tanks to enter France through the impassable Ardennes Forest. It was the biggest gamble taken by Germany in World War II. The Allies, trapped on the coast of the Franco-Belgian border, became sitting ducks, waiting to be ambushed by the Germans. The battle was all but lost for Britain. The only remaining thing to do was to get their troops out of France as soon as possible. The Allied military leaders came up with what is known as Operation Dynamo to avert the impending military disaster. They decided on evacuating the soldiers through Dunkirk, the nearest port with good facilities. Initial plans had called for the recovery of 30,000 men within 2 days, as it was anticipated that the German troops were capable of blocking further evacuation. However, only 7,669 men were evacuated on the first day. But by the end of the eighth day, a total of 338,226 soldiers had been rescued from the beaches and harbor of Dunkirk by a hastily assembled fleet of over 800 boats. Two French divisions had stayed behind to hold off the Germans long enough for the Allied troops to escape before succumbing to the German offenses. If the Dunkirk evacuation ended up as a failure, the Germans for sure would have won World War II.
So with that battle, there's been legends that were born from it. Books and movies and tales have been told. They have the boats, they come out and they do the different anniversary things like that. But now another legend is born. Meet Corporal Adonis Maximus Badass. Sound the alarm. I actually have sound effects for Kyle.
Oh, there. Sorry. Wait, no. No way.
What?
Because we got so many good answers to the what's the weirdest military name.
Oh, okay.
That I don't want to miss that. I don't want to pass that by.
What is it? What do we got?
We got so many. This is from Bob Morris Jr. I shit you not, there was a kid with the last name Stained. In the Navy, semen stained.
Oh, man.
That's such a good one. Also, we had a kid in a sub school whose parents named him Galactic Battlecruiser.
No,
and
that's
I said,
not
do
real.
You promise? He said, I swear to God. He
no
said, 100%
way.
Swear to God.
That's
I don't
not
know.
Real.
I met people in the Marine Corps. I knew a corpsman. She was on our FET team. Her dad was a Marine. So her middle name was Marina Cora. People
that's
name
more
their
believable.
Kids some crazy
that's
shit.
More believable than Galactic
yeah.
Battle.
I know a lot of drill instructors that name their kids like their little girls Cadence.
Oh yeah, I knew Cadence. There, you'd be in the grocery store there, and they'd be like,
"Lots of gunners,
Valor, Liberty, get over here!" You're like, "Oh my god!" They're like standing in parade rest. Yeah, yeah. JJ did Tom Buckle. Like 14 kids come running out of the. Sergeant was one. Sergeant Slaughter. Sergeant.
I had a sergeant that I served with, and we called him Square.
I like this one. Lance Corporal
like
Tree Fitty. Like 350 Tree Fitty. Let's see. Private Drinkwater. So I'm sure they were always making him chug out of his canteen at boot camp. That's a doctor, a doctor with the last name Ho. She got promoted to Major Ho. I love that. I know her, and she's about the nicest damn officer ever, too, said Fuck Chipotle.
You would think that if you're at, like, a formation, like, Major Ho, that yeah. you had been essentially mosed from the Simpsons.
Yeah.
This is so many good semen ones. Semen Balls was another one. Somebody with the last name Klitz, K-L-I-T-Z.
Oh, man, Glennie Ball should come on the show sometimes. It'd be Semen Balls.
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew a kid in the junior ROTC. This is Mike D. Hunter Nighthawk. Just not a funny name, but just an awesome name. Hunter Nighthawk is a fucking badass name.
That is a good one.
There are just so many. Last name Guzzler, Seaman Guzzler is another one. So, Sergeant Major, last name Major. Wow, Glasscock. There was a kid last name Glasscock who just got roasted at AIT. Commander Cannon is a badass one. That's a good one. Porter John. Oh, a kid in boot camp named Porter with the last name John. You know, he got shit on so bad.
No doubt.
Yeah, we had a Native American. We had a Native American.
Everybody
medic.
Sit on that recruit right there and take a dump in his lap.
Yeah, everybody. Real Andrew Neal said we had a Native American medic whose last name was White Killer. Maybe the guy. But there's so many good names. I know we had a recruit Rug R-U-G-G who was always screwing up. And our one drill instructor was always like, don't make me come over there and cut a rug. It was just always such a delight. Going down this list, it's on the Zero Blog 30 Instagram. Scroll down it, and there are just so many good ones.
Although, anytime that we ask for the baby girls to come through on social media and do it, they fucking knock it out of the park. Love our baby girls.
Oh, look, there's this one really good one. There was Lance Corporal Catherine Mannion.
Let's move on to round five.
Call me Cass, please. Lance Corporal Cass.
Round number five. Okay. Here we go. What's going on? Round number five. We have a special round because it's a little surprise from me. I'm very excited about this. Let's cue the Jeopardy theme music. I'm gonna play a little military Jeopardy.
Wow. Kate
versus cons. Let's see how it goes down. Now, these questions that I found are actually military questions that have appeared on the real Jeopardy show. They are not in any particular order. There's not like going to be to choose from. So I'm just going to go through and see who could get the most out of these questions. I'm not even really sure how many they are. Are we ready for round number
ready
one?
Ready as we'll be.
All right. So what's your buzzer going to be, Kate?
Sweaty butt.
Okay. Kate has to say sweaty butt to chime in. Cons?
I'll just make some sort of noise.
Okay. Here we go. Clue number one. Despite objections from the Pentagon, on July 26, 1948, Harry Truman issued an executive order telling the military to do
sweaty butt
this.
Go to fucking war.
Kate. If you remember correctly, you have to say what is go to fucking war? And that would be incorrect. No.
Cons, awfully quiet over there, coward.
Yeah, sorry, I don't know.
The answer is, what is abolish discrimination in the armed forces?
I would have thrown that out as a guess. Shit.
Wow, well, I really nailed it.
They nailed it. Yeah. Clue number two, Gold Beach was at the center. I'll tell you what the value on the show was too. The last one was a tough one, so don't feel bad if you didn't get that one. That was actually a daily double that was in the $2,000 range. Okay. So that's a tough question. That's a difficult one. This one, however, is a little bit different. This one is the 400 value. Clue is Gold Beach was at the center of 5 days designated landing areas. And during this 1944 military operation. Kate, please respect the game by not saying sweaty butt until I have completed the answer. Cons.
What is the Battle of Iwo Jima?
And the answer is false.
Sweaty butt. Kate. What is the invasion of Normandy? Gold Beach was the center spot.
That is correct. Kate nailed it.
Wow, how did I not get that one?
Wow, unbelievable. Clue number three coming up with Kate in the lead. This one is a $600 value, and the category was military matters. The story that goes that 19th century Marines wore collar protection from bayonets.
Sweaty butt!
Hence this nickname.
I said it first. What is leatherneck?
Wow, Khan's got it right with leatherneck.
I knew it before the question was done. I was being polite. You finished the question.
You don't have to.
The questions are up there.
All right. Good job. Semper Fidelis is Latin for always faithful. It's the motto of the U.S. Marine Corps. As of 2017, the number of Marines in active duty were 182,000 with 38,000 in reserve. Nicely done by the Jeopardy folks there. Clue number four, with the score all tied up at one, the Marine Military Academy in Harlington, Texas boasts the original plaster statue of the flag raising here.
What is Iwo Jima?
Kanji didn't wait for me to call on you, the answer goes to Kate. What's the Iwo Jima? That is correct. What is Iwo Jima?
That's some bullshit there, Alex.
Kate takes the lead 2-1. Clue number five. In 2013, the government officially said this numeric military facility in Nevada existed, but aliens not yet.
Sorry.
Cons.
What is Area 51?
That is correct. It's one of the most enduring American conspiracy theories, involves the supposed presence of aliens at a remote military facility in Nevada at Homey Airport or Groom Lake, more commonly called Area 51. We'll do two more questions. Maybe this will be a recurring concept because I like this. The first jet, clue number six, with the score all tied up here at two. So we are going to have, this is Tiger to the runner. This will be the last one. The first jet to jet aerial victory took place during this war when a U.S. Air Force Lockheed F-80s Charlie shot down a MiG-15 the Yalu River.
Looking at Kyle to see if he's going to mouth the answer to me. He's not. What a dickhead. I'm going to say, what is the World War I?
No, I mean, that's not even close. So, Khan, do you have a guess?
Do we not have planes in World War One? Do we not have planes?
Yeah, but the Air Force didn't exist then, though.
Yeah.
Oh, my own grandfather was in the Army Air Corps in World War II because there wasn't an Air Force yet. Oh,
yeah.
Geez. Right.
Yeah. What is, Alex, what is the Vietnam War?
That is incorrect as well. The correct answer there was what is the Korean War? Long before Maverick and Top Gun popularized the aerial dogfight among mainstream Americans, Russell J. Brown chased and shot down a Soviet-made MiG during a routine combat patrol. The American press took the news and spread it like wildfire, christening a new American icon, the Intrepid Dogfighter. All right, last question here. The first women to fly U.S. military aircraft made up WASP, the Women in Air Force Service. This is a $200
question. Wait, what are you asking here?
The first women to fly U.S. military aircraft made up WASP. What does the acronym mean? The Women Air Force Service what?
Sweaty butt.
Merp, 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 merp.
Kate.
What is patrol?
That is incorrect. Cons.
I feel like this is too easy to. I'm going to outthink myself here. What is.
Oh,
pilot?
God damn it.
That is correct. And Cons takes it 3-2. It was a $200 question, which should have clued in that it was going to be easy and not difficult, like patrol, like Kate made it out to be. And that rounds up this episode of Zero Block 30. Jeopardy, that was a good time. I enjoyed that.
So I like it. I should have won, but like that's it. Okay.
I can't believe I didn't get the D-Day one. I just,
yeah,
you know,
that's disappointing.
I will say,
not like you went to school for that or anything.
Yeah, right. You don't realize how much it helps seeing the words in front of you and being able to read it along with hearing it.
Mm-hmm. I have a confession.
It definitely aids.
Do you found the article?
Hold on, I'm losing my marbles. I have a confession to make. So when Chap started that Normandy question, he said something about Gold Beach, and then he got sidetracked and was talking to you guys for a second. So I maybe held my phone in front of me and typed in Gold Beach.
Integrity violation from Kate. Before that, she can go.
But I
my hands were right here the whole time.
He was smarty pants, you know. It was for a greater good. You know.
Oh, okay.
Disappointing level of integrity from the Marine on the podcast.
Cheating and not saying, or cheating and then coming out and letting everyone know that you did.
One would say both because it made the first part not even worth it. Let's move on to save rounds and alibis. Kate, okay. We'll start with you.
Quick,
what do you
super
got?
Super nifty little thing from the New York Harbor here in the city where Cons and I roam. John F. Kennedy, it was World War II, and he was on this little PT-59 Navy patrol boat, and he commanded it, this little boat. Well, war ends, comes back to New York, that boat becomes a fishing boat for other people. Like, other people are using it, whatever. And then it catches fire. A few years later, it sinks to the bottom of the New York Harbor. Nobody thinks twice about it. Well, now the MTA, the Metropolitan Transit Authority in New York City, is looking to build a $610 million seawall around their transit yard so it doesn't get screwed up like it did in Hurricane Sandy. And so they're doing surveys of the ocean floor there, the harbor floor, and they found this old boat. They dig it up, they check the number on it, and they're like, holy shit, that was JFK's old boat. Was just sitting there on the floor of the New York Harbor. So something a little nifty. Also, I just want to give a shout out to, I got a message a few months ago from this fella, Micah Mall. And he said he was going through officer school and he was like, when I get out, would you be like one of my first salutes? And I was like, yeah, sure, man, whatever. Yeah. And like, I was like, he'll forget. Well, he just commissioned, I guess. And he sent me a message the other night. He was like, well, I already did my first one, but will you be my second salute? So like last night at 2 a.m, because I said I would send him my crispiest. So last night at like 2 a.m.
Let's see it.
So crispy that my hand, whoa, at the top. It just, whoa, I'm about to hit myself in the face. Thank you.
It's not bad, Kate. Fingers extended, enjoyed thumb along the hand. I like it.
Commissioning to all the graduates out there who are graduating, my crispiest of salutes to you all.
Yeah, and speaking of, the graduates of West Point had their big time ceremony this weekend. Cons, it looked weird, right?
Yeah, it was very weird. I will say I'm always impressed when you can get that many chairs very much aligned, and it looked really sharp on TV, but it was weird to have the ceremony there with on the plane. It's only happened one other time, I think.
How long do you think that took to cover and align all those chairs?
Probably longer than we would like to think.
Hat Co. Centerville.
Oh, to get it perfect like that? They had to have had like a string or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Yeah, chalk line.
But so one of my actual rounds, did you guys see all the news about President Trump walking down the ramp?
Yeah.
I couldn't get over it. Like, yeah, he's 74. Like, do you expect him to like hop down? Like
the nature of the beast, man. It was like, you remember when people were shitting on President Obama because he saluted with a coffee cup in his hand, like getting off of HMX1. Like people just nitpick fucking everything. Yeah.
But even still, like I watched it and he didn't look like he struggled that much. He just looked like he was a 74-year-old guy. Like
the water was more strange. It looks like that looked like the first time he ever had a sip of water in his life.
It was definitely weird. That was definitely weird. Something I learned this weekend that was coinciding with this JFK story, there are reefs off the Jersey Shore where they took old subway cars and sank them on purpose to develop man-made reefs. Didn't know that.
Yeah, so they take that's like, where they take all the tires. They take all the tires from every car in Okinawa and try to extend out the reef there with those too.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. It'd be pretty cool job.
It'd be cool
to
go scooping through them.
I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Setting up your own obstacle course underwater.
Yeah.
The slide for life would be different underwater.
No.
Not as scary.
last thing, real quick. Last night was the 30 for 30 documentary about the McGuire Sosa home run chase, and I would just like, as our listeners get to know Kyle better, Kyle, if you could just please read your tweet about Mark McGuire from last night, I think that would give everyone some good insight into who you are as a person.
Yeah, gladly. Let me pull it up here. So big time Cardinals fan, love Mark McGuire. When he hit his 62nd home run, I wrote the date and time in the bill of my Cardinals hat. That's just a little background on what's wrong with my brain. So I tweeted, I love Mark McGuire. I don't care if he shot steroids into his dick between innings just for a rush. I don't care.
I co-sign that completely. I don't give a fuck about steroids. Yeah. I wish those guys were steroided to the fucking brim. I wish they had steroids coming out their gills.
Yeah. You can take all the steroids in the
world. Crush a baseball 900 feet. That's all I want.
Yeah, it puts asses in the seats.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Save baseball.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe after this whole mess, we'll have another steroid era.
One can only help.
Sick. And also, Cardinal fans are a different breed, too. I don't know if you guys are familiar with one of my favorite books of all time. It's by John Grisham. It's called The Painted House, where he goes up to a little place outside of St. Louis, and the kids are all sitting around listening to the radio every single night. They have a makeshift baseball field that's set up just like Cardinals Field, and he meets a young painter, and he learns about life that way. It's a lovely little tale. It's called The Painted House.
Noted.
John Grisham. No free ads.
So that's all I got.
Anything else, Kyle, from you?
Well, I had one, but first, let me disparage Cons and Kate. That was horrible, Jeopardy. Oh, my God.
It's not my proudest moment. Cons. That wasn't good for me, you know.
The beaches? Come on. That was Little Army's biggest amphibious invasion ever.
That was embarrassing. Oh, that was embarrassing that you didn't know it.
Ouch.
Wow.
And I got it right.
Kate, Jets? Jets in World War
One. Okay, I missed. What is a jet really? You know, what is a jet?
Oh my God. Kate, best guess. What year did World War One happen?
No, World War One. It was a spicy meatball, and it happened in. It was before the Depression, because people were.
Was it before or after World War II?
It was before World War II, and it was before the Depression. I'm going to say definitely 1918 was part of it. On the fields of France.
Oh, that's good. Okay. You nailed it. Okay. Yeah, because they just had the movie 1917.
Yeah, so I'm going to say that was a good clue. 16.
Okay. Yeah, that works. That's one of the years in it.
So. Yeah. Look at me.
That's good. I don't really have any save rounds alibis. I did see a video that came out before we started recording. Some of these drone missiles that they can do, man, it is fucking unbelievable. They targeted, so if you haven't seen it, they targeted a guy, I believe it was in Syria, and they targeted one of the leaders of Al-Qaeda, and whenever they did so with a drone. And this drone, I mean, you could see the impact where the center was. It couldn't have went much more through the exact center of this car. And the level that those must take off and go to to get there. They're silent. You can't hear them. You can't see them until they fucking kill you. Honestly, that's got to be one of the best ways to go. If you're going to go, you have no idea. You're not feeling sick or anything. Boom, you're dead.
Yeah, in an instant.
Time to retreat.